time now for your letters from the past couple of weeks. Some were love letters, others not so much.
Two stories triggered a lot of discussion about what issues even deserve coverage on NPR. The first had to do with this.
The research indicates that we're into some kind of a therapeutic deism. In other words, a nice, old, folksy, caring God who doesn't bother us and we don't bother God, which in a sense is a functional atheism.
That's Boston College professor Thomas Groom.
He was on the show talking about his book, Will There Be Faith? An exploration of how religious education has failed to keep faith relevant in people's lives.
This interview crossed the line. NPR should not be promoting religion, wrote Heaviest Cat on our website.
Other listeners thought we handled the issue objectively. But Melissa Bairn raised this larger point. Saying NPR or WBUR focus too much on religion is akin to saying they focus too much on politics or the economy. If public radio is meant to help us understand our world, then the examination of religion is absolutely crucial to their work.
The other hot-button topic? Childhood vaccinations and the growing number of parents who choose to space out their children's shots. Here's WBUR's Carrie Goldberg, co-host of the Common Health blog, who drew our attention to the issue.
I would say that parents who refuse all vaccines are a tiny minority, whereas parents who delay or put off vaccines are well into the double digits.
Well, we wanted to explore exactly why that is, but even asking that question drew a lot of fire from our listeners. It's irresponsible to put this on the air, some said, while others replied with accusations about the, quote, medical establishment.
Listener Kathy went one step further, writing on our website that Radio Boston should not have reported the debate. There is no debate, she wrote. Those who would deviate from the CDC-approved vaccination schedule are being influenced by what she calls a lot of anti-science rubbish.
Well, with all due respect to Kathy, when growing and troubling trends emerge in fields such as public health, I do believe Radio Boston will keep on reporting on them.
And on to other news. Locavores chimed in when they heard Adam Ragusa's story on
the Mobile Poultry Processing Unit, or MPPU. Literally, a slaughterhouse on wheels.
This is a great alternative because it's shared infrastructure. It moves from farm to farm. Not every farm has to build their entire processing facility.
That report from Adam included some sounds of chickens being slaughtered in that mobile unit, which didn't sit well with some listeners. But Sam A. writes,
it's easy to be turned off by the thought of animals being killed, humanely or not. But if you disagree with the way conventional meat chickens are raised, you'll probably need to look beyond the supermarket.
And finally, letters about September 11th. There were a lot of them.
We observed the 10th anniversary of the attacks through the memories of several Massachusetts residents who lost loved ones on that day. Among them, Haven Fife Kiernan, whose husband Carlton died on American Airlines Flight 11 when hijackers crashed it into the World Trade Center.
2 days before that, Haven found out she was pregnant with her second son.
Just recently, he's really taken to the idea that he's, in fact, part of a special group of kids who were a gift afterwards.
Haven has remarried and recovered from her terrible grief, though she told us such tragedies live with you forever. Listener Joe Gualiani wrote this about her. Every September 11th, I would wonder how Haven and her young sons were doing. I always wished they had peace, happiness, and love in their lives. I'm settled in my mind and heart now, knowing that she has exactly that.
We also spoke with Kim Trudell. Her husband, Fred Rimley, died on United Flight 175. And just the night before, Kim and Fred took a walk at Crocker Park in Marblehead.
And at one point, I turned to him and I said, you know, I don't know what I would do without you in my life. Quick as a whip, he turned to me and he said, well, I would imagine that you would go on. That's what I would do.
Lori Calvert sent us this simple email. May we all live with the grace and strength of this woman.
And thank you for that, Lori. We always welcome your thoughts on anything you hear on our program. You can find all the ways to contact us on our website, radioboston.org. Coming up next, the Grand Canyon. It's a marvel to look at, but what does it sound like to a classically trained musician? Boston cellist Rhonda Ryder joins us to explain and play. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.